This episode is sponsored by Auto Trader. See a car in that movie you just watched?
Mm-hmm. You can find that car on Auto Trader. Shop millions of new and used cars on Auto Trader.
Welcome to Ear Biscuits, the podcast where two lifelong friends talk about life for a long time. I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link. This week at the round table of dim lighting, we're still giving you shorter summer episodes because we gotta cram them in before a little vacation. That's what's happening here. So, this is not a permanent change. Just want to keep reiterating that. But at the round table of dim lighting today, I want to share about my experience of having one of the best birthday parties maybe I've ever had.
It's funny. I heard you say that at the party, and I was like,
"Well, you were there."
Well, I thought it was. I thought it was a great party. when I heard you telling somebody, I think this might be the best birthday party I've ever had. I was like, "Well, that's an interesting perspective." It was a great party, but I guess I'm just thinking about other parties you've had. Maybe you haven't had a lot of birthday parties. Because it was like a really good, solid party.
Yeah.
But there was no magician.
I can't help but note that, like, you had a party with a magician.
There was no.
So it seems like.
Yeah. There's pretty much no magician is the main thing that I was thinking.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, well, allow me to support my claim.
My magician party, by the way, wasn't one of the best parties I've ever had. I'm just saying yours didn't have a magician.
No, it didn't.
So if one of my not the greatest party I've ever had had a magician and yours didn't, I'm just trying to figure out, you know, like when a really good football team beats another football team and then that football team beats another football team and then that football team beats another football team. In your mind, you think to yourself that this football team would definitely beat this football team because it beat that one, that beat that one, that beat that one.
Okay, yes.
Parties kind of work the same way.
Okay. Well.
It was a great party.
I think the problem is, the way that I'm looking at this is not a competition. even though.
No, it's a competition between your other parties that you've had.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
You are comparing it not to my parties, to your other parties.
Yes.
That was what you were doing in that moment.
I think it was the one of the best parties for me, not for anybody else. Mm. That's what I'm gonna unpack.
Okay, all right. I'm interested in this.
Of course, my birthday was June 1st. It has a way of being that every year. Mm-hmm. I'd be doggone.
You're one of those people.
Yeah. Every year, it's the same date.
Yeah. I like to switch mine up.
First of the month. And I, you know, just as a quick side note, I'm just so grateful that my birthday is a first. It just feels like that's a good time of the month to have a birthday, right at the top of the month. I just feel for the people who have birthdays at the bottom of months. Especially the months that change from year to year, and sometimes they don't have a birthday.
You're talking about people born on February 29th?
I guess so.
I think that might be the only ones you're talking about.
Or even if it's like my birthday is March 31st, I feel for those people. And I'm realizing now that includes my oldest daughter. Well, I'm also realizing that I only have one daughter, so I can just say my daughter.
You're realizing a lot of things.
Yeah, I really am. I'm a verbal processor. I don't know. I just feel like having a single-digit birthday, especially a one, is really nice. You've got a one and another one, which is also nice. Like if you're going to have
more one than you got.
A two, if you're going to have a two-digit birthday, I think 11 is probably the best one. Because it's one twice, which is, I feel like, a really, really good birthday.
I think the date of your birthday is less important than what day in the year your birthday shows up on,
which like day
moves
of the week?
Every single year.
Well,
if you're the kind of person who celebrates your birthday on your birthday, which kind of the whole point of your story is that you didn't.
Yep. I was in Chicago on the Good Mythical Tour.
Right.
And, you know, in its own right, that that was a really fun show because I was able to make it about me and my birthday unapologetically.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you realize that.
No one noticed.
So that was a fun little element. I had a great birthday, but I'm getting all these birthday wishes from my family and my friends back home, and I'm like, well, I want to celebrate with these people too. And so then I started replying. Well, I decided, well, I can have a party. It can just be belated. It doesn't matter how belated, especially if I'm telling them on my birthday that I'm having a party, save the date. And I hatched this plan immediately on my birthday. And I started going into group chats of friends and saying, save the date. Now, in one of those group chats, of course, you were in it, but also Christy was in it. And that's how she found out that I was throwing a party for myself on my birthday, which really meant, come to find out, that I was volunteering her to throw me a birthday party on a specific date.
She understood that.
And we hadn't discussed any of that.
She knew that.
This is how she found out. By being invited to plan the party along with everybody else, I was invited to save the date for the party. I didn't know that. You know, I was just like, we're going to have it at the Creative House. It'll be, you know, it'll kind of take care of itself.
And you felt like if you didn't do it on your birthday, the window was closing?
I felt like that was the perfect time to say, hey, you know today's my birthday. Your birthday gift to me can be showing up at my party, was the implication.
Okay.
So I felt like there was a little more pressure to make it happen if I did it on my actual birthday, especially in response to people wishing me happy birthday. And I started getting excited about it. I was like, because I wasn't going to be bummed out that, like, I was on the road for my birthday. It was fine. I knew that was going to happen. But that really made me excited.
Because you did have 3,000 people sing you happy birthday.
Yeah.
Most people don't get that.
That was awesome. And you brought out a cake, and you guys surprised me on stage.
You surprised me on stage, too.
I surprised myself. Because, of course, you gave me a huge knife, which was the knife that I had performed my knife performance with earlier in the evening. And everybody's singing me happy birthday, and I'm thinking, as they're singing happy birthday, your gift to me and Stevie's gift too, I guess, the crew's gift was, we're going to allow you to cut this cake with a knife yourself. We'll let you do it. So as everybody's singing, I'm thinking, what am I going to do? I mean, am I just going to cut the cake and eat a piece of it and like... This needs to be some sort of...
It wasn't a cake.
It was pie, because you don't like
it. Oh, yeah, it was pie. Right.
We got you pie.
And that's important.
So you can eat it, because you like
it. It being pie is sort of the...
yeah.
It's a really key element of the story.
I use cake in, like, the general, it's your birthday dessert. But yes, I'm sorry, I forgot for a second that you had gifted me pie, because I don't like cake. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do? Because I can't just eat it, right? There's no payoff. And
right. Yeah,
I have this knife, and there is an expectation of me doing something, right? So
a little peek inside Link's brain.
When the song was winding down, and I knew when it was winding down because I'm familiar with the song.
Yeah, it's famous.
I then went into a speech. The implication being, I'm about to give this speech of gratitude for everybody singing me happy birthday. But very early on in me having my opening salvo, I quickly raised the knife and then slammed it down on the pie, chopping it perfectly in half in a surprising fashion. That was my plan. And when I did that, just serendipitously, the blade went a little to the right as it came down, such that when I smashed into this pie, it sent half of the pie exploding in one particular direction to my left, where in reviewing the tape,
You didn't need the tape.
You
this.
Had not been standing until, like, right before this moment, you moved over into the perfect spot to be the recipient of the pie on your entire body.
Every single, from literally from head to toe.
And I look
in my beard, on my face, in my hair, on my shirt, on the shirt under my shirt, on my pants, and on my brand new shoes.
Head to toe.
And the chocolate part of the pie went onto my white shoelaces on my brand new shoes, the only pair of shoes I brought on tour.
I didn't know this was going to happen. Not in my wildest dreams could I have wished that something that amazing would have happened. I looked over at you, and I couldn't believe it. I looked up, and there's pie. I looked in the middle, there's pie. I looked down, and there's pie. And I just had to celebrate. I mean, it was the perfect punctuation it was the perfect answer to how does this end?
I think it was, in my mind, it was the perfect encapsulation of what it's like for Link to celebrate his birthday. It was like, this is the day captured in a moment.
I would apologize.
Interpret that as you will.
I'm used to being the butt of the joke. I don't know if you feel like you were the butt of that joke, but it wasn't even intentional. So I can't be sorry that it happened because it was hilarious.
Oh, it was very funny. I recognize that.
So did that make you afraid to come to my birthday party? That something else might happen?
Link, if that made me afraid to come to your birthday party, that would make me afraid to come to work.
Okay, good point.
Do you understand how that works?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's an excellent point. So I planned it like, I was like, save the date 3 weeks from now. We got this Saturday. And I really didn't think about, I was just like, I was on an invitation spree. And I'm inviting all my friends. And I've been wanting to have a party at the Creative House because
we need to come up with a better name, just sidebar.
Yeah, we do. It's just like when you, especially when you're talking to friends.
We were talking to somebody about it last night, and they thought it was another YouTuber, and they thought that you said Creator House, and all of a sudden it was as if we had like one of those creator houses.
Right.
That is just for me and you. And it is not that. And we call it a Creative House because we are apparently not creative enough to come up with a better name than Creative House.
Party, Creative Pad, House.
No, I think
the House.
It needs.
Why don't we just call it the House?
I'm not going to workshop names right now because we did such a poor job the first time.
The House is a better placeholder.
Well, no, it's not, because then it could be any house. I'll see you at the house. Well, whose house? My house, your house, or the Creative House?
Right.
So it needs to be like, there needs to be a specific name that can only mean that.
I could say the name of the street, but then it's the name of the street. And we don't want to do that.
Yeah, we're not.
All right, we're not workshopping this right now.
Yeah.
But I wanted to have a party over there because I have my like record set up and like I have my speaker set up, and I just think it's a nice setup for a party. And so I did that, but I was inviting. As we've discussed on this podcast before, I have different pockets of friends. I have the friend group that we are both a part of, which I invited, and I have. Then there's a larger friend group, which is kind of like your game night friend group, minus the people that are just friends with you but not me. I invited those people, so that's a wider circle. And then I have this totally separate circle that's never overlapped at all. That's my Lando's friend's parents' circle, of which the guys, the dads in that group are the Scooter Club, my social, private social club.
Private?
Private social club, invitation only.
Okay.
And this is the one that you've gone on record saying that you never wanted to meet them and they never wanted to meet you or something like that. You actually got some backlash for it, but that's
because
silly.
People, you know, after all these years, and it's okay. It's fine. Sometimes people don't realize when I'm joking. Because a lot of times I don't change my tenor at all because yeah. that's part of my thing.
Yeah.
It's called sarcasm. I do it a lot less than I used to because
what did you
as
say,
the
though?
Years have gone by, people have seemed to be even less perceptive. I said that I had met each individual person in the Scooter Club and decided that I did not want to be friends with them.
Right.
And that was not true.
It was a funny clip.
I've only met one of them, and he was a pleasant man.
Right. And it was in the work setting in passing.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, you actually hadn't met any of them until this party. So,
right.
The party, we had tacos, we had open bar, we had whatever you'd want, you know, right there. And
we need to talk about the open bar after this.
Well, yeah, for Lily's party, we got a bartender to make drinks for people, and I just discovered that's a really nice addition to a
I'm just talking about the specific bartender.
I mean, it's no magician, but
right.
If you're going to choose one or the other, I would go with a bartender.
Right.
And, so it was like 6:30 until indoor-outdoor party, dress casual, because it was hot. And, you know, I thought I might DJ a little bit, but I thought I probably wouldn't because then I can't mingle. And people start showing up, and I had a playlist prepared. You know, so I was kind of like pseudo DJing, just like I would at any hangout or whatever. Hmm. And I never ended up DJing, which was fine. I didn't want to because
well, but in a sense you were.
I was in a sense.
You were in charge of what was playing.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
You weren't That's scratching true. It up.
No, I was on the aux. And I started to dawn on me as people started to trickle in that if I really thought about it, I might be nervous because this is a mixing of groups that's never happened. And if I'm attending that type of party, it's like, okay, does everybody know each other except for, well, there were two groups and they had never mixed. And I could have gotten nervous about that. And then there was other people. There was like some work type people that were like they're not employees, but they're like just different floating type people, like Anna Lynn who does our hair. I was like, I want you to come to this. And like Michael who does our tattoos, I want you to come to this.
Right.
And I was so glad that they showed up. But then I've got all these people, it's like, to them, it might seem like everybody knew everybody except for them. And so I found myself explaining as certain people showed up, like my friend Jasper, I was like, just so you know, you're not the only person that doesn't know everybody. There's a lot of people that are meeting for the first time. You know, I want to put people at ease, but like I started to feel a little apprehension.
Okay.
But then I had a couple of drinks, and then that went away pretty quickly. And then that was replaced with me just kind of mingling to the different groups, which people kind of stayed with the people they knew. But then at a certain point in the evening, I was just appreciating the fact that everybody was there. All these people that I invited to come, like mostly everybody was able to show up. And I cared deeply for everybody that was there. And I just started feeling really grateful. And I started sitting back and just looking around and just basking in the fact that, like, these people are, I care about these people. And they showed up. And I started to feel like, this is the analogy that I came up with. If you ever go to a family reunion, I've had the privilege of going to like large scale family reunions in my past, and there's always like this really old person, like a great grandmama, sitting in the corner, not able to move, and they're just looking around. Can they see? Can they hear? But there's this little bit of smile on their face. Hmm. They're just looking around. And I realized that I was that great grandpappy in the corner on the couch, just looking around, a little smile on my face.
I can see it on your face.
Saying, I did this.
Oh, wow. Again, a peek inside his
all
mind.
All these people came from my gene pool. Friendship speaking.
Yeah.
And it made me really happy that they were there. And then I started introducing people from one circle to another circle, and there started to be this melding. It was a little bit of melding without me. I mean, we're all adults. You can talk to people. You can get to know people. That was happening. Sure. But I was able to, like, make the, I think so-and-so will like so-and-so. And I think so-and-so will get a kick out of so-and-so. So I started making these connections and then backing away slowly and watching people just connect. Hey, you all like me for some reason. You can probably like each other. And so I got a lot of joy out of that.
So that's where the comment that this is the best party.
And then it wasn't the like most epic party by any means that I've
It was
ever
a very thought. Enjoyable
but
party.
But it was like, it was very special to me. It was the exact party that I wanted at this point for 46. Mm. At this point in my life.
An insignificant birthday.
Yeah. I wanted these people to be here and I wanted them to interact while I basked on the beach of my creation. Which was just inviting
people.
You're
like the god of friendship?
It's just, I don't understand. No, I'm just inviting people to a party.
I just don't understand
just inviting people
the
to
terminology,
a party.
The specific word choice.
So that's why it was special, was because these people showed up. And how was my speech? Because Christy put me on the spot. She gave like a, everybody had donuts and she gave a toast and then everybody sang happy birthday. And again, when the people are singing happy birthday, when that's over, I'm like, well, what am I going to do? I got to give a speech.
Well, I will say I think that you caught a good audible,
right?
When Christy, well, what she was asking for, and she wasn't telling people that they had to do it, but you know how that goes when you start saying anyone who wants to say what they one thing that they love about Link.
Because she knew I would love that.
And then it, what would happen is that people, everyone feels obligated to say something. And I would say I'm a little surprised that you stepped in because I knew how much you wanted that to happen.
Right.
And we're like, you know what? Let's not do that. And you said, that's the kind of thing that I would come up with. And I don't think we should do that.
I don't want to put.
If you want to say
I don't want to put everybody
me,
on the spot.
If you want
to
say
feel like they have
to
say
me individually,
something. Please do.
Please do.
Mm-hmm. And then I gave my.
And
speech.
And then you gave a speech,
which was short.
It was short,
and it was heartfelt.
It was a great speech,
and it was basically that. So these people, a lot of these people, I've known for like over a decade. Some I've known for my entire life. I was talking about you.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that these people that I've known for that long are still in my life and care about me enough to show up and celebrate me means a lot, you know? It's like that I can have long-term friendships like that and that there were newer friends there too. And that it was, I don't know, it just, I felt special. It's what I needed. And I said my piece. And then I moved on. I didn't go around the room to individuals and say why everybody was special to me.
Yeah.
Like my rehearsal dinner.
You wanted to a little bit, though.
And it went, and I was, so, everybody, like, I think everybody knew what I wanted, which was to show up, to have a good time, and to interact, and not bail too early. Because I thought everybody would be gone by midnight. Started at 6:30. Thought everybody would be gone.
It was a very long party.
And then
it might be the longest party I've been to.
1 o'clock rolls around.
In 10 years.
Most everybody's still there. 1:30 rolls around. And then that's when people started to leave. It's like, that's more than I ever could have expected.
I think I left about 1:30.
You left at 1:40 because I had a notepad. Oh. Jenna, I know when you left too. Jenna was there.
Yeah.
You made it so special, Jenna.
Thank you.
See? And Rhett, you made it so special.
Oh,
I'm so surprised you were there. but yeah, I mean, Christy was there till 1:40 in the morning too. Like, I mean, it's been almost a week and she's still recovering, but
yeah,
she did that for me. Everybody really brought their A game.
It was quite,
I stayed for another hour and I got in bed at 3.
It was a tough, it was a party that long and that late before the week that we've had.
Yeah.
It was, but at least it was, you know.
You had all day Sunday to
Saturday
recover.
Saturday night. Yeah. And I actually was able to sleep late. I really made sure that the blinds didn't let any light in. And I did wake up at 6 a.m. like I always do.
Right.
But then I was able to be like, no, you have to stay in bed. You have to go back to sleep. And I was able to get back to sleep. And I woke up again at noon. First time I've done that in quite some time.
I'm glad you did that.
If I hadn't done that, I don't think I'd be here today.
You partied hard, man. You honored my 46 by partying hard and late. And I felt it.
I
felt it from you and everybody. And
two,
I just want to
two things.
I want to thank everyone again for coming to my party. I'm done.
The bartender had a business card.
Yeah.
That I didn't understand. But it wasn't just a business card. It was a business index card.
It was big. It was glossy. It was like a flyer that people shove in your face if you're walking down the street in Vegas. But it didn't have naked women on it. It had a YouTube channel.
It was for a YouTube channel. Did you see this?
I did not see this.
It involved clowns and horror and
there was a lot of different fonts on it.
It was yeah.
There were 7 fonts that I could count on the index card.
I took a picture of it because when I was cleaning up the next morning,
you wanted to digitize it.
I threw it away, but I didn't want to lose it, so I took a picture of it. But I'm not gonna. I don't want to show that picture.
No, we're not going to show it. It was kind of floating around though.
It was.
And that was when I was sitting next to. I'm not gonna like name your friends.
You don't remember their names.
Yeah, he was talking about the business card, and he was basically like, "Is this a normal thing?" Like he's a very observant person, and was asking some questions about like, you know. The angle of his question, of his line of questioning to you was like, it seemed to be that like given what you do for a living, is what is happening right now normal? Would this, you hired somebody to do this specific thing, and then it turned into, oh, here's my YouTube index card. And it doesn't. I mean,
it doesn't happen.
It's fine. The guy is. He's a bartender in L.A. Like, right. Sure, he brings these things. He's not just doing this just to serve drinks. He's making connections. Whatever. I'm not faulting the guy.
He makes a strong drink. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
He earned the right to give me the card. I will say that.
But I had a really funny conversation with this same guy, who, he was like, I listened to the Ear Biscuits podcast episode about the pie eating party.
Oh, this, you're not talking about the bartender anymore. You're talking about my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And which, of course, that Scooter Club group.
That was the pie eating contest.
They were at the pie eating contest. And if you remember this, I don't remember many of the details of the story, but it was basically that. You showed up and you began to produce the pie eating contest. You got on the aux and started playing music, and you, created the rules for the contest
at his house.
Oh, it was at his house. Okay, great. That it helps me even more. So he was like, "I found it so interesting because I'd never met this guy, you know, until the other night. And he was like, it was so funny listening to Link tell the story about something that he was at, but telling it with his best friend of 40 years and the questions that I was asking and the way that I'm perceiving it and right. knowing how it would have gone down because I know you so well.
Yeah.
And he just got a big kick out of this dynamic. But he said, I found it so funny that when Link said, so I, you know, started playing, I kind of took over the music and started playing the music. And then he was like, I found it so funny that you stopped him at that point in the story and asked, hold on, did anyone ask you to take charge of the music? Because I knew the answer was no, right? And then he was like, and I just laughed so much at that because of course not. He took it over in the first 10 minutes. And so it was funny for me to see this like very observant guy who likes to make these observations and vocalize them.
Yeah.
To be like talking about his, because of the way that friend group came together, which is friend groups come together in all kinds of different ways. But when friend groups come together because of children, right? Because the kids have something in common. It isn't necessarily, like, I think this is a really cool thing about your friend group, is it's not like specific common industry or common interest or that kind of thing was the precipitating factor of the friend group. It was your kids know each other through something. And so you get a really interesting mix of people that do a lot of different things or different walks of life.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good thing to have in a friend group. And of course, and you're the only person doing what you do in your friend group.
Yeah.
And so like hearing him talk about his, like, it was almost like a fascination of like, he was like, I'm getting this meet the guy that has known this guy for all this time. And I've only known him for however many years. And like his,
right. the 3 years,
maybe. The dynamic, which he just, it seems to really make him laugh quite a bit.
Yeah. Cause even though the setup could mean like it's on that you're at arm's length friendship, but like, yeah, I mean, it goes to show you that like this guy actually knows me well enough to form opinions that like you validated. I think that was his experience.
Right. Yeah. 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 He was like, oh, okay.
But we're going to go back to keeping them separate.
The interesting thing
is we're going back into our corners.
I find it interesting that I'm not trying to infiltrate your friend group, but like you,
I know that.
Like, but you talk about it as if that might.
I'm not gonna.
As if there's a
I'm not
word,
gonna keep planning things that are gonna bring.
If there's a worry that things might get a little too mixed up. I don't think anybody's worried about that other than you.
I'm not worried about it. I just want to be clear.
But you do realize that it is possible that someone from one of the friend groups does make a connection with somebody from the other friend group and they end up doing something independently. I mean, this is just how friendship happens. I'm not saying I'm going to do that. I'm not saying there's a threat of me doing that. I think it would be more weird for me to do that as your best friend. But somebody, you know, further down the chain,
yeah,
making a connection, like that just happens. I've got friends who I connected who are better friends than me at this point.
With each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You were worried about that?
No, I'm not.
Because it might happen. I just want you to be emotionally prepared for it. And it could be a beautiful thing.
I'm not going to do anything else to facilitate that.
Well, what about your next birthday party?
That would be a side effect of a wonderful birthday party.
The next party that you and Christy have, in which you're like, we're going to invite our friends to this party.
Yeah.
Isn't it going to happen again?
I need to think about that.
Wow. You're like Shepard. Shepard doesn't like to mix his friend groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always like, hey, man, they all like you. They all should just come over at the same time. And he's like, nah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, okay.
It's simpler. Simpler. It gives me options. As opposed to then getting back to just one option. So anyway, that's it. My recommendation is check out the shirt.
Good Mythical Exploring.
I like that.
It's like a nature vibe version of what we do in different areas of curiosity. I'm curious about If you're curious about getting out in nature, wear this shirt, mythical.com.
We also have over at mythical.com what we are calling the GMM at Home collection. If you're watching this, we're showing you visuals of it because we don't have them with us right now. Three-piece collection, a rubber-backed desk mat, a pencil set, and a catch-all tray.
Oh, that's cool.
So the desk mat's made to look like the desk with some fun engravings on, Rhett and Lynx, that's us, sides, plus a sneaky Good Mythical Morning logo in the coffee mugs.
We need to see this, because...
Pencil set comes with five pencils featuring cute GMM-centric phrases engraved on them. And the catch-all tray is made from enamel and features an all-over checkerboard and GMM logo print. This sounds like something you need at your home. Mythical.com is where you need to go to make that happen.
We'll talk at you next week.
Hi, Rhett and Link. This is Kelsey. Rhett, I just wanted to say thank you for standing up for all of the gulpers on the latest episode. As a fellow gulper, I swear I cannot feel hydrated unless my uvula is, like, baptized in a freaking cascading dam of water. So I appreciate that. Link, I really do think that you should give it another try. You will feel hydrated like you would not believe. Okay. Thank you, guys. Love you. Thanks for all you do. Bye.